Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Nobody Will Tell You This But Me, A True, As Told to Me. Story is a memoir by Bess Kalb that reconstructs the voice of her late grandmother, Bobby Bell, to tell the story of four generations of women in one family. Rather than following a conventional linear autobiography, the book uses imagined direct address, saved voicemails, remembered conversations, and family recollections to create a hybrid form that sits between memoir, oral history, and family chronicle. Its purpose is not only to narrate a personal loss, but also to preserve the personality, humor, and authority of an unforgettable grandmother, whose influence shaped the author's life. The book is especially concerned with inheritance, in a broad sense, cultural, emotional, and linguistic. Through Bobby's voice, readers encounter Jewish immigrant history, intergenerational tension, practical life advice, and the deep continuity between women across time. The result is a memoir that is both intimate and formally inventive, using one family story to explore memory, grief, and belonging. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a memoir built around a reconstructed grandmother voice. The book's most distinctive feature is its narrative method. Bess Kalb presents the memoir as if her grandmother Bobby is still speaking, including from beyond death. This is more than a stylistic flourish. It allows the book to preserve the force of Bobby's personality rather than reducing her to a subject of recollection. The effect is a memoir that feels immediate, argumentative, affectionate, and alive. Even though it is built from memory and reconstruction, that approach also changes the reader's relationship to truth. The book does not aim to behave like a detached historical record. Instead, it treats emotional truth, family memory, and voiced recollection as the central evidence. In memoir terms, this is significant because it expands what a family narrative can do. The author is not only reporting events, but also reanimating a relationship. The voice becomes the organizing principle of the book, shaping pacing, tone, and emotional texture. This makes the memoir stand out from more conventional first-person life writing. Secondly, four generations of women and the logic of matrilineal inheritance. A major topic in the book is the continuity of women across generations, from Bobby's immigrant mother to Bobby, to Bess's mother, and then to Bess herself. The memoir frames this as a matrilineal love story, which means the family line is not presented simply as genealogy, but as a chain of influence, conflict, care, and survival. This matters because each woman is shaped by a different historical moment, pogrom era migration, early 20th century Jewish immigrant life, post-war suburban aspiration, and modern professional culture. The book uses these shifts to show how family identity changes without disappearing. At the same time, the women are linked by recurring patterns such as stubbornness, practicality, and the expectation that women must carry family memory. The memoir therefore examines inheritance as something active rather than passive. What gets passed down is not only trauma or tradition, but also posture, habits of speech, standards of taste, and forms of loyalty. That layered inheritance gives the book its depth and prevents it from becoming a simple tribute. It is also a study in how family narratives are shaped by the women who repeat and preserve them. Thirdly, Jewish immigrant memory and the pressure of assimilation. The book draws heavily on the family's Jewish background, especially the story of Bobby's mother, leaving Belarus in the wake of pogroms and building a life in America. This gives the memoir a historical dimension that reaches beyond one household. The family story becomes a smaller version of a much larger immigrant pattern displacement, adaptation, upward mobility, and the costs of assimilation. The movement from an attic apartment in Brooklyn to more affluent settings in New York suburbs reflects not just economic change, but social negotiation. The book is attentive to the practical realities of trying to belong in America while keeping a distinct cultural identity. Bobby's sharp rules, opinions, and warnings can be read as part of that inherited survival logic. The memoir does not romanticize immigrant hardship, but it also does not flatten it into abstraction. Instead, it shows how historical pressures become family habits, jokes, anxieties, and standards of behavior. That is one reason the book resonates for readers interested in Jewish family life. It connects grand historical events to intimate domestic textures, making history feel personal without losing its scale. Fourthly, voicemail, and the preservation of everyday intimacy. Kalb's use of saved voicemails, remembered conversations, texts, and oral exchanges is central to the book's emotional design. These materials matter because they preserve the everyday cadence of a relationship that might otherwise disappear after death. Instead of relying only on summary or retrospective reflection, the memoir brings in fragments of lived speech that keep Bobby's presence active on the page. This creates a layered form of intimacy. The reader hears not just what Bobby meant to the family, but how she spoke, interrupted, advised, corrected, and loved. The book therefore treats communication itself as a form of inheritance. Bobby's language becomes a repository of family values, especially her directness and uncompromising standards. This technique also explains why the memoir feels both comic and moving. Ordinary calls about shopping, fashion, family concerns, and life choices become meaningful because they reveal character and attachment at the same time. In a broader literary sense, the book shows how modern technology can become an archive of family feeling. The voicemails are not just sentimental keepsakes. They are the raw material of memory and narrative structure. Lastly, humor, grief, and the unusual authority of tough love. The emotional range of the book depends on its ability to move between wit and mourning without separating them. Bobby is described as opinionated, sharp, and sometimes meddling, but those traits are never presented as merely comic. They are part of how she expresses loyalty and care. The memoir understands tough love as an emotional style with both limits and strengths. It can be abrasive, but it also communicates seriousness, attention, and protection. This is one reason the book is effective as a grief memoir. It does not sentimentalize loss, nor does it treat bereavement as a purely private interior state. Instead, grief is shown through specific absences in conversation, routines, and family dynamics. Humor becomes a means of preserving the dead without idealizing them. Bobby's voice can be funny precisely because it is unsparing, and that candor gives the memoir credibility. For readers, this balance matters because it demonstrates how affection can exist inside criticism, and how memory can honor a person's full complexity. The book stands out by making grief feel socially inhabited rather than isolated, sustained by the ongoing echo of a voice that still instructs and interrupts. In conclusion, Nobody Will Tell You This But Me will be most rewarding for readers who value memoirs that experiment with form while staying grounded in emotionally legible family experience. It is especially suited to readers interested in mother-daughter-granddaughter dynamics, Jewish immigrant history, oral storytelling, and books that treat memory as something actively constructed rather than passively recorded. Its practical value lies in how clearly it shows the power of family speech, archival fragments, and recurring anecdotes to preserve relationship and identity. Its intellectual value comes from the way it questions what memoir can be when the central voice is reconstructed rather than merely reported. Compared with more traditional family memoirs, this book stands out for its formal boldness and for the vividness of Bobby Bell as a literary presence. Compared with grief memoirs, it is less inwardly meditative and more relational, shaped by argument, affection, and inherited language. The result is a memoir that is funny, mournful, and structurally unusual in a way that feels earned rather than decorative. Readers looking for a familiar life story may find it surprising. Readers looking for a fresh account of family love and loss will likely find it memorable. If you would like to support Bess Kalb, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.